Madagay, Gimbe, Bidipi, Baray. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people who stayed into this land. I would like to pay respect to the elders both past and present, and extend that respect to all listeners of King's Kiss.
Do you believe in evil spirits? Do you believe they actually exist? Hello, I'm Heidi and this is King's Kids. Today, Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison is talking about evil spirits that he has encountered, and one in particular called the Yowie. To those of us who are not Aboriginal, we think of the Yowie as the boogeyman or something similar. We usually think of him as a mythical being, but there really are evil spirits, and Tony had a recent encounter with one.
Last week I had a coffee with an Aboriginal friend of mine. We try to meet every now and again and just catch up and chew the fat. And a lot lately we've been talking about the dream time, and we've been talking about the Yowie spirit. You know, he's convinced that there's been sightings around North Avon area, and he's put his Harry Butler outfit on and he's been off and into the bush trying to spot this Yowie. Because other people have taken photos of him, and he's really, really desperate to catch a glimpse of the famous Yowie. But I've spoken to him about it because I've actually seen the spirit of Yowie. And the one that I saw was over 20 foot tall. It doesn't bother us Christians because we know who we are in Christ. They can't harm us or hurt us. He was sharing with me that he started doing an Aboriginal painting, and he was fixed on the spirits and the dream time. Anyway, halfway through the painting, he just stopped for no unknown reason. He just stopped and just couldn't finish the painting. And his wife kept nagging him and nagging him and nagging him. She said, "There's a spirit in the house. There's an evil spirit in the house. And I don't know where it came from or why, what's it doing here, but I just don't feel comfortable." I said to him sometimes that, you know, people move in their houses and you don't know what went on before people actually moved into the house. And so sometimes as I move into a new place, I usually pray over it, cleanse it, pray through the place and get rid of anything that's evil that you don't want there. He said to me, "Tony, this is a brand new unit. We're the first people to live in it." Then he started to tell me, you know, he'd done some history on the place that where it was built. And he said he believed it was a freshwater spring that came up out of the ground there, and they built over the top of it. He thinks the old Aboriginal people used to get their fresh water there because you couldn't take it from the Hastings because of the salt. And he thinks that because it was built over this where the Aboriginal people used to come, he seems to think it has some significance to the demonic spirit. Well, the Aboriginal Dreamtime spirit, he believed, came into his house. And I said to him, "Well, you're going to have to just pray through the house, get rid of the painting and pray over it." And that was a few weeks back, and I forgot about our conversation. Anyway, it got too much for him and his wife, so he snuck down to the land council and he shoved the painting between the bars at the back of the barbecue area. Anyway, he'd run into Uncle Bill's wife and said, "Look," he said, "I'll left that painting there. Tony will know what to do with it." But he didn't say anything else, and I'd forgotten all about the conversation that we had. So I puts the thing in my car and takes the painting home. I stuck it in the dining room area up against the cabinet, and I'd watch TV and I just felt a bit uneasy, but never gave it another thought. Because I put up a bloodline around my house, and the bloodline is to stop demonic spirits coming in, just willy-nilly, just helping themselves coming in and out. I'll explain to you why the bloodline, and then how come the demonic spirits can cross the bloodline. They can only cross it if you take them with you across it. And what had happened was, when I brought the painting into my own, that spirit that came with the painting actually was taken across the bloodline by me. Anyway, I was tired. I don't handle some of these late nights and early starts too well. And I decided that I was going to go to bed early. And I had this dream that this horrible spirit was in the house and it was trying to kill me. And it came towards me in the dream. And then I started to scream in my sleep in the dream, and the screaming actually woke me up. And I sort of sat up, and I couldn't see my face in the dark, but I could imagine I was as white as a sheet, because I saw this thing in the dream and it was so real. But when I actually stopped screaming and opened my eyes and looked, this thing was at the end of my bed coming towards me. And it wasn't a little tiny demonic spirit. It was huge and horrible. And it was big and it was coming towards me. And before I could even speak and open my mouth, as if the Lord had heard my thought, as I was about to cry out to Jesus to come and help me, as I thought it, this white light came into the room, flashed straight through the wall, and as I got a look at this white light, it was a light trailing behind this angelic being. It was an angel. And this angel came through from the outside of the house, through the wall, and grabbed this thing by the throat. And before, within a blink of an eye, it was gone. It dragged it straight through the bedroom door, straight out the wall, and out onto the street. And I sat there in amazement at what I just saw. I went up and I got up out of bed, and I went out and got some oil. I anointed that painting with oil. Then I started to pray over it and to bind up the spirits. I really needed to take control. But as I did that, I felt God's peace and God's love flood the room. Just flood the room and flood my innermost being. I just felt completely surrounded by God's love. And I felt safe as a newborn baby. So I went back to bed and I went back to sleep. But when I woke up the next morning, like sometimes we dream things and don't remember them, but I could see this thing in my mind's eye as clear as it was when it happened, that this horrible thing was standing at my bed and coming towards me, and this bright light entered the room. And then I saw an angel just appear out of nowhere, come through the wall and grab this thing by the throat and just drag it out, kicking and screaming. And you know what? I just felt God's peace. And that's why today I want to talk about this, because it's an invisible world, the world of angels and demonic spirits. And a lot of people never see them. A lot of people can sense them. And I went to church on Sunday and I still left that painting in the house. And then when I came home, I was watching telly. Then I can hear, I got a sliding door in the spare bedroom. And when my grandkids come, they often pull at the bottom of the door because they don't know how to slide the door. They keep trying to pull it open and it keeps making this banging noise. And I was trying to watch something that I'd recorded and it was driving me mental. So I thought I'd get up and see if the window was open. If there was a breeze coming through the window, they'd be doing that. The window was open, but there was no breeze in the room. But when I went into the room, it was like walking into a chiller. And often, when we encounter demonic spirits like that, the room is really icy cold. And I knew as soon as I walked into the room to close the window that there was demonic spirits in the house. And then I walked out into the bathroom, and there was some in the bathroom, and there was some in the other room. So I just cried out to God. And I said, God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm commanding all these evil spirits to leave my home. They are not welcome here. And I said, Lord, I'm calling upon my angels to get rid of them out of this place. Within about 2 minutes, as I walked through the house praying and calling out to God, I knew God heard me and I knew God had answered my prayer, because there was nothing but peace and love in the house. People say to me, Tony, well, you know, I've never encountered demonic spirits or angels. Whether you've encountered them or not, they're always there. They are always there. The angels are always there doing God's bidding to help you, especially if you're a Christian. But you know, non-Christians, they don't realize this, but God's appointed angels to help them as well, to point them to Jesus Christ, to bring them to salvation. And every time they reject God, God doesn't throw his hands in the air and say, okay, we're going to give up on that person. No, they start again. are angelic beings. They don't get bored or monotonous, you know. They are made for a purpose, and that purpose is to point you towards Jesus. And they do that.
Can I not praise you when I consider all?
Abundant Life Ministries with How Can I Not Praise You? Tony has been talking about evil spirits, and you might think that if you're a Christian, evil spirits can't come near you. But the Bible doesn't say this, and Tony is going to tell you about how an evil spirit entered his home, even though the home was protected by the blood of Christ.
I've seen demonic spirits come into my home before because people bring them with them, even church people. They're not normally possessed by demonic spirits, but they can use them. They use them like a taxi. I remember one of my first encounters as a Christian when I got out of prison. I'd been counselling this family, and their home was always in chaos. And anyway, this woman came to visit a couple of weeks later, and within seconds, the house was in turmoil, just like it was in their house. And I raced outside, and being, you know, a new Christian confronting this stuff outside of prison, I cried out to God at the clothesline, and I said to God, I said, "What's happening in my house?" He said, "That woman has brought her demonic spirit from her home into yours. You need to go inside and take authority," which I did. And that started a long time of my encounters with demonic spirits. A lot of people that get into seances and witchcraft, they prefer black people or Aboriginal people or Negroes and people from other cultures that are dark, because they're into all that sort of stuff, their witchcraft and all that sort of stuff. So it's easier to use them, what they consider channeling spirits, when they do seances and stuff like that. But I've noticed that sometimes when I've been praying, you're praying for somebody that's been in the church a while, and then when you're praying for them, or they've sat through a message, and, you know, the demonic spirit that's inside of them manifests inside the thing, and that's when we allow deliverance to take the spirit out of them. So yes, they can come in the churches. They don't like it. They don't like being there when the praise and worship is on. But you know what? They're as dedicated as to doing their bit to take you to hell, to take your joy, to rob you of all the things that God has given you. And so many, many times I've been called out to Aboriginal people's homes because they don't know how to deal with the stuff from their dream time, from their past, and the stuff that's been handed down from generation to generation to generation. You know, I was somewhere the other day, and this Willy Wagtail turned up. I've mentioned it before. In the Aboriginal dream time, the Willy Wagtail is the spirit of death. And I remember as a child, that every time the old Willy Wagtail turned up, Mum would make us go outside and hunt him. And I was sharing a story the other day that I've seen drunken blackfellas in Redfern at the block throwing full cans of beer at a Willy Wagtail. I mean, it puts the fear of the devil into them when they see the Willy Wagtail hanging around. But I'm above that because I know who my God is. We don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of love, grace, and power because God is God. God is on the throne. God hasn't lost the battle. And you know, while we put our trust in God, we know without a doubt that we have all authority over Satan, over his demonic spirits, over curses, over all these things, over witchcraft. We have complete control over all of it. But the bottom line is, most Christians wouldn't know God if you bit them on the leg, in the sense that they don't know who they are in Jesus Christ. They don't realize they have power and authority. A lot of Christians just go to church, and they just go to church, and they have a form of godliness. They deny the power. They don't understand what Jesus really went through for them, that they don't have to live in fear. They don't have to live in subjection. Recently, I went into a person's home and I commanded seven demonic spirits to come out of this man's, out of his being. And this man goes to church and claims to be a Christian. You know, there was a lot of other spirits in his house. But you see, they're invited in. And you say, "Well, Tony, how can I invite spirits into my home?" Well, look what I did. I took a painting into my home that came with an Aboriginal spirit. People take Buddhas into their home. They come with demonic spirits. People take things all the time into their home, even in music, Even in CDs, you're taking stuff into your home. And not only that, it's what you allow that your children to watch or what you watch on television. People say, oh, but Tony, now that show's really harmless. Is it really harmless? Are you indoctrinating your kids with stuff that later on as they grow up, they think it's okay? It's not okay. You've got to show discernment. You know what the Bible tells me? If you lack wisdom, ask God and he will give you wisdom. God will never deny anybody the gift of wisdom because we need wisdom when we're dealing with these things. And sometimes, you know, I talk to people all the time, and last week when we was going to church, we actually listened to the last episode of my testimony on our way to Tairita Church. The Aboriginal people that was on the bus with me, you know, when I talked about different things like the dream time being 95%, 99% demonic. You know, these people agreed with me. These people agreed and they said, brother, you preach it like it is because people need to know. They need to be set free from this. You know, one of my best friends and closest friends when I came to Port Macquarie is Uncle Bill. And Uncle Bill does the welcome to this radio program. Uncle Bill believed in the smoking ceremonies and he believed in the stuff of the dream time. But you know what? The moment he gave his heart to Christ, the moment I led him to the Lord, I went away, you know, and I said, you know, God, how do I tell someone like Uncle Bill, an important man like him, how do I tell him that all the stuff that he's believed in the past is not of God, it's of Satan? God said, Tony, the truth will set him free. You need to tell him the truth. And the Bible says that if we tell people the truth will set them free. We talked about unforgiveness as well. And we talked about that before he got saved. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what am I going to do now? You know, he's not only an important man in the community, he's an elder. And he's my best friend. Do I play religious with him? Do I just let him go and hopefully that he'll stumble along in the dark and maybe God will tell him? But would he know God's voice if he heard it? I prayed about it. I just prayed about it and I prayed about it. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to bite the bullet here and I'm just going to tell him. And the Lord said, that's all I want you to do is tell people the truth and the truth will set them free. And when we sat down over a cup of coffee to talk about these things, as soon as I mentioned the smoking ceremonies, And this other stuff, that the Aboriginal stuff that he's practiced nearly all of his life. You know what he said to me? He said, brother, I know what you're saying is right. I know that it's not of God. And then I said, well, what about unforgiveness? He said, brother, God's already spoken to me about that. And you see what? We have such a wonderful God that God can go before us. I had some dealings with someone the other day and they said to me, but Brother Tony, God doesn't know my mother. Duh. Can you say God doesn't know my mother? And this is what I'm talking about. God knows everything. And God not only knew when Uncle Bill would get saved, not only him, his wife as well. God is such a good God. He knew the exact time that they would get saved. And he knew that God gave me a choice. Tony, go and tell them the truth to set them free. Or don't say nothing. You see, if I didn't say anything, I would only do my job after doing my job. And God is not in the habit of after doing a job. And neither am I. So I bit the bullet and damaged my false teeth, by the way. Just kidding. But went in front of him. And you know what? God had already been there before me, prepared the way, softened his heart, spoke to him. God is such a great God. We can trust him always.
Yes, God is a trustworthy God. But if you'd like to talk to Tony about what he shared today, you can call him on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. Or go to the King's Kids website at kingskidsministries.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Heidi, and I hope you can join us again next week. God bless, and bye for now. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.